Welcome to the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer's Sermon Podcast.
The readings appointed for this sermon are from the Book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 34 through 43, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 1 through 11, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, verse 1 through 8, and Psalm 118, verse 1 through 2, and 14 through 24.
God, grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever heard the phrase, "This ain't my first rodeo"? Yeah? Connoting the idea that we've been through this before and we know what we're doing, we have a sense of it. Someone pointed out recently, though, does this mean that we have to have it all figured out by our second rodeo? Because that seems like a really small amount of rodeos to just know what's going on, right? And I do feel like this ain't my first rodeo. Great, but it might be my second or third, and I'm still very much learning. And of course, now, of course, I'm not talking about rodeos. I'm kind of talking about life. I'm hitting 45 this year. I've been doing the things that I've been doing for a little bit of time now. And I still, every once in a while, I wake up and I go like, I shouldn't be allowed to do these things. Like, make all these decisions and be a grown-up and live in this life. Like, someone else should be making all of these decisions for us, you know, is how it feels. It turns out we've let other people make decisions for us, and that goes much worse. So we keep coming back to trying to make it ourselves. But I think about this reality of us muddling through our lives. We can say that we know that there's millions of different self-help books and all sorts of videos you can watch on Facebook and TikTok that'll tell you how to live your life. But on some level, the reason there's so many is because we all feel like we're still just trying to figure it out. And I want to make sure we all understand the Bible is not an instruction booklet for how to live your life. Okay? It's just not. And even if it were, it would be more confusing than any IKEA instructions you ever saw. Okay? So throw that out the window. That's not how our Bible is meant to be engaged with, right? And the reality is that no matter how much we try to have it together, no matter how much we experience this world, new things keep popping up and our life keeps happening in ways that we can't imagine. I'm thinking now of Mary Magdalene. And Mary and Salome, who head to the tomb that day to prepare Jesus' body. One thing we may not know or may not realize as we hear the story is this is not their first rodeo at all. They know how to prepare dead bodies for burial. They don't send out for someone else to do it. They don't send him to a mortuary. In their life, they are surrounded by death. And they know the drill. They have the special spices needed to care for the body. And they know what's happening next. They have some questions as we see. There are some unusual things that are occurring here, right? Because of when Jesus dies, instead of preparing his body right away because it's about to be sundown before Sabbath, They bury him. And because the Roman soldiers are scared that his body will be stolen, they put this enormous stone in front of it to make sure that it can't be taken away. So Mary and Salome are walking to the tomb, and they've got their kit, they've got their things, the thing they know that they have to do. But even this, on their 30th or 40th time doing this, they know how to do it. But even this time, they're moving forward, and they don't know what it will bring, what will come their way. But they're going to walk towards it anyway. It's actually it's really painful and beautiful and sad. They've been walking along on their way. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" They're walking there not knowing what will happen. But they know the drill. They're moving forward in their life, doing the thing that they know how to do. And they get there, and the stone is rolled away. And there are angels, and Jesus has already been raised up. They don't have to do the thing they came to do, resurrection has occurred. Jesus is risen. And they are told this news. And they are appropriately shocked. It says they're scared and they're shocked and they're terrified. Of course they are. Because in the midst of their everyday life, something radical and powerful has happened. It's so important for us to recognize that this thing that happened, this resurrection, this was a complete and utter surprise to the people around him. Now, I know Jesus throughout his ministry told people it would happen, but it didn't make any sense to them. They'd never seen anything like it. It doesn't make any sense to us if we're honest. Being raised from the dead? How often do we actually say, I can buy into that? It's a radical and ridiculous claim. So whenever he talks about it in his life, they're like, oh, okay, Jesus is going on about that weird thing again. That's fine. Let him go. He'll get back to the good news in a minute. That's fine. But here it's happened to them. Here it's happened. In their pain, in their sorrow, in the everyday life that they have lived, Jesus is risen. God has done a miracle. This is so important for us. We need to know that God has done this thing, and it is not because enough people believed in Jesus that Jesus was raised up from the dead. Jesus is not like Tinkerbell, right? Where if you don't believe, Jesus dies, and then enough people clap, and Jesus comes back to life, right? That's not how it goes. This isn't about us believing enough. The story isn't that these women were so understanding and that they were going to the tomb expecting it to be empty, and they just wanted to be the first ones there to prove it. That's not the story. The story is that in the midst of the life that they had come to expect, God changed everything. God acted. In the name of love, God acted. In the name of life, God acts. Raises Jesus up and changes the game for everybody. And what happens next is powerful. Is that they're terrified. And they're terrified because they believe. They're not scared because they don't believe. If you don't believe, you don't have to be scared. If you don't believe, you can just move on. And they're terrified because they know, and we know that the women believe because we have their story. These three women are the first proclaimers of the gospel we have. They are the first witnesses of Christ's resurrection, and if it weren't for them, we wouldn't even know it happened. So we know they come to believe. We cannot control how and when God acts in our lives. We cannot believe enough to make God show up. And there's a bunch of Christians who will stand up on an Easter Sunday and tell you the opposite. So I'm just going to disagree with them with love and respect. But friends, it's not on you to be faithful enough to make God work. And when you believe that God would just do more if you would just be more faithful and believe the right things and act the right way, you are harming yourself. And you are misunderstanding the God that we have. The God that we have does not wait for us to believe before God acts. The God that we see in this gospel finds us in our unbelief, finds us in our everyday lives, and transforms our lives radically for love and for life. So we cannot engineer the resurrection, and we cannot make ourselves believe all the right things, and we cannot believe ourselves into goodness occurring. Great, so what can we do? We can follow the example of Mary and Mary and Salome, which is that when we see God act, we can recognize it. We can name it. We can choose to believe it. My friends, God is at work in our lives every day. Our problem is not that God isn't around. Our problem is not that God is not working in this world. Our problem is that we don't recognize God. So our hope rests in God. But when God shows up and does the work of transformation, resurrection in our lives, Our part in this is that it's our job to recognize God. And if you're not sure how to recognize God, look for love. And I mean every time. Look for the love in your life, and when you look there, you see God, and you recognize that God has been at work in resurrection all around you all the time. This is when you begin to believe. When you cut someone off in traffic because you're thinking about something, you didn't mean to do it, you're a very good person, we all know, but you cut someone off, and then you realize you do it, and then that person drives by you, and instead of giving you the finger, like, waves at you, and is like, I get it, it's okay. Recognize God's presence, please. That's God. When you're at the airport and you see two people that you have no idea who they are, and they clearly haven't seen each other in a while, and they grab each other and embrace when they see each other, recognize God's presence. When you're coming off 71 North on Dana Avenue and you see that man who's standing on the side asking for money, you know that guy. Now maybe you give him a dollar and maybe you don't. But when you see him, you make eye contact with him, and you say hello. And when he looks at you, and you look at him, and you see each other's eyes, friends, that's God at work. God's right there. Our problem is not that God is not at work in our lives. Our problem is that we are missing God because we're trying to make our own miracles happen. We're trying to bring about the resurrection. It's done. The power of the women at the tomb is not that they made the resurrection happen. The power is that when they saw it, they believed and they acted as if it was so. My friends, when we believe that God is at work in our lives, when we believe in the power of God's love, our lives are changed. And when we act as if God is love, when we act as if it's true, as if Jesus Christ is risen today, when we live that, this whole world is changed. A world transformed by love and mercy, by peace and justice. A world that needs to know that God is present. This isn't a world that needs God to show up more. This is a world that needs to recognize the power and the presence of the God who is at work right now. My friends, it starts with us, and it starts today. In Jesus' name.